Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. This is our first episode in the Catholic Dads of Genius series, where we talk to dads from various walks of life to explore how God is inspiring them.
My name is Chris Bartlett.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we are Catholic dads trying to become the dads God has called us to be.
Awesome. So welcome to this new series. As we dive in, Matt, I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you sure? A good question?
Stop. Should you be your kids' friends?
At this age, when they are young, no. But do I want to be their friends when they get older? Yes.
Wait, so can you be liked by your kids? Like, what exactly, when you say you can't be your kids' friends, why?
So, I want my friends to like me. I want my kids to like me. I want my kids to respect me more at this age than anything else. I don't want them to, like, let's say my kid, I don't know, starts getting into the stuff that he shouldn't get into and wants me to have a joint with him. It's like, no, that's what your friends do, but you shouldn't be doing that. You're grounded.
Okay. Yeah. So for the authority
piece.
That's
an extreme example.
Right. Very non sequitur. Just like, boom, let's go for it. And I assume you're talking about your five-year-old, right?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Of course.
But there is this element of authority that is required for us as fathers to have, to where that level of friendship could compromise that authority, I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think like relationship at this age, if we don't have a relationship with our kids where our kids love us and there's actual like a real relationship, we've talked about that in other episodes where that's dangerous. Like your kids that don't have a relationship with you, like there's an example given to me years ago and it was a Protestant pastor, which is relatively cheesy, but like he was talking about how our kids have this like, I don't know, tube in their hearts, in their chests that is like a suction, like it's a vacuum. And you want it to be attached to you as a parent so that they're growing and learning and growing from you. But when that becomes detached, they're like, it's like sucking in all this other stuff that you don't want them to suck in.
Like a
Ghostbuster. And they're going to get attached to something else. So there's difference between relationship and friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I agree with your answer. I think one of the key pieces to that answer is that we know better than our kids.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to say because in this day and age, we want to be humble. We want to be, you know, like I don't know everything, but I certainly know a heck of a lot more than what my kids know. And part of the reason is because I've made a lot more mistakes than my kids have. So I know not to go down that path because I know what that path ends in because my dummy head has already been down that path, you know? So, but you said ultimately you want to be friends with your children, and our guest today kind of dives into that a little bit. I thought it was an amazing point. And so anything else as we dive into this very first Catholic Dads of Genius that you want to dive
so
into?
Yeah, so guys, we want to bring guests on this show, and in our current kind of studio setup doesn't let us bring guests in because then you'd have this weird like three screen setup on here and we don't have a big studio to bring different people in. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to get the number of donations to be able to actually do that. But so what I did is I basically interviewed Trey Cashin in a
Wait, did you just guilt our
studio.
Audience?
Oh, a little, just a little bit.
We've like, there was a little cough there. We've literally never asked them for anything other than to like and subscribe. Like, keep liking and subscribing. Oh, by the way, why haven't you given us money yet? What are you doing?
I mean, I really don't know.
Half of this show loves you right where you're at. Okay, half of this show loves you right where you're at. The other half is Matt Rice, ladies and gentlemen. So we will keep adding value, and we will eventually make an ask. But right now, we're just doing the best we can, which is why we have this setup that we do.
I was the one that like used the whole First Thessalonians 5 to talk about how I don't lift other people's up. And what did you just do to me?
I mirrored your behavior. I look up to you, Matt, so anything you do, I do as well.
And not only are our kids watching, but our friends are watching too.
Friends are watching. So you were mentioning our guest today.
Without further ado, let's just go into my interview with Trey Cashin.
Hey guys, Matt Rice here with our first ever guest on the Catholic Dad Show, Trey Cashin.
Wow.
Yeah.
First ever.
First ever.
Wow, that's crazy.
So well, Trey, who are you?
My name is Trey Cashin. I'm father of six, been married to Stephanie for coming up on 33.
So hold on first. You're a Catholic dad.
Well, I'm a Catholic dad.
There you go. Right. All right.
I thought that was kind of what the name of the dad gun thing is. I thought that's what this was. No, I am a Catholic dad. Been married to my wife for almost 33 years, Stephanie,
all right,
and have six kids. They're all out of the house, so we're pretty much empty nesters for the first time ever.
So for Catholic dads in my state or younger who have all their kids at home, this is what we're looking for. not just looking for them to get out of the house, but where his kids are and who his kids are, honestly, like these are some of the goals that we set. And if you don't have other dads like this in your life that are older and have gone through stuff that you are going to go through, I would really encourage you to make friends with old people.
Thanks for the old people shot. But, you know, I resemble that remark.
So Trey and I have been friends for years. What is your profession? What do you do?
I'm a banker at Amarillo National Bank here in College Station. I've been doing banking for about 16 years. And prior to that, I was all over the place.
But, yeah. One of the things Chris and I have wanted to do or want to do with this show is not just have ministry dads on there, because that's where Chris and I are. Chris Right. and I have been in ministry for 20 years. We're ministry dads. And that's a different, you know, you deal with different issues or whatever. But then most dads out there are dads like you who have a regular day job that isn't ministry per se. Yep. And so we wanted to get some insights from dads like you.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
We've got a whole list of questions.
I would say I'm a veteran, not an expert.
So. A veteran, not in the military.
No, a veteran as in parenting, but not an expert.
Yes, veteran, not an expert. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So. All right. So the first question you picked was, how do you hope to impact the world because of your Catholic fatherhood?
Well, I mean, the whole goal that Stephanie and I mean, one of the things that we did do was sit down and kind of say, well, what do we want? So we wanted to raise kids that were going to heaven. Obviously, that's the ultimate goal. But the other part is that what kind of kids do we want? And we had a group that said we want to raise kids that we are friends with. I mean, that eventually they become friends.
So you want to raise when they get older.
Well, when you get older.
You like being around them.
Like being around them, and that you even ask them for advice. I mean, it's like anything else. You have to kind of start with an end in mind and then parent to that end. And I think we did a decent job. Hey, jury's still out. I mean, they're all out of the house, but they're not all on their own yet. But,
yep.
So that's where we started was we wanted them to be friends of ours, people who could give good advice, who would have a particular worldview. And so impacting the world was that they'd be productive, that they would be Catholic, that they'd have a Catholic worldview, that they would see things through the lens of the church and of their faith, that they would recognize God at work in their lives and even recognize his direction as they go through things. And part of that's just as you're parenting your kids, when things happen or they don't make a team that they're on or that they're trying to get on or something along those lines, what you do is you point to the fact that, hey, God's got a plan. He's aware of this. And they hear that enough over and over because it's the truth. It's not like a brainwashing. I mean, you're just giving them facts. And you're helping them walk through, well, maybe this is not what you're called to. I mean, my oldest son, not my oldest, the oldest of the triplets, Colby, you know, he wanted to be a football player. And when he was little, he was on a flag football team. Well, I had to fill out what his capabilities are. And one of the things I said was he was slow. And he didn't know I had done that, but I ended up accidentally getting put as the coach. And so all those sheets came back to me, which I never thought would be in my house. Well, if you ever do that, hide them because I'd left them out and my son started looking through them and said, oh, here's about me. Wait, who says I'm slow? and so that one of those things was, I said, well, I mean, you are slow, but you don't have to be slow. And so he, that next Christmas, asked for a little deal. And I said, so you can work at it. And he worked at it. He ended up being a starting running back at College Station High School, which is hard to be if you're slow.
Absolutely. You're not slow.
Not slow anymore. But I think that was sometimes God gives you the opportunities to say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be a sign of grace. I'm going to say, I'm going to give you something that you couldn't do yourself. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to give you permission to try and let them know that. And that's, we're trying to be a sign of God to them,
yeah.
Like how he operates with us. There's work to be done on their side.
What's interesting here to me is that you didn't like excuse your answer or backpedal or anything like that. Like it was an honest answer that you wrote down. And you were honest with your son with why you wrote it down.
Because it was true. Like, so that's what we always told them. You know, we're weird and you may want to edit this. But but for the longest time, we did American Idol. And the reason we did in the early stages of American Idol was because you'd get Simon Cowell who would just say, well, you're awful, you know, right to their face. And then we would show that there'd be parents walking out with their kid. And everybody in the nation has just heard how bad this person is. And the parent is saying, they don't know what they're talking about. You're going to be a star or whatever. And then they go about that. And I said, would you rather me tell you, hey, you're not really good. This is not your gift. God has something else for you. Or would you rather me just continue to encourage you in something that you're obviously not good at? Our job is to kind of help direct you. So it's not a lack of love. It's actually love that says, let's give them the truth.
Yeah.
And so I said, you'll always get the truth from me.
Yeah.
So like when they'll say they're not good at a class or they're not smart or whatever. And I'll say, that's a lie. You are smart. I mean, if they weren't, I'd tell them. But half the time I say, I've never lied to you about something that matters about you that you need to know about yourself.
Yeah.
And so it built trust. So my kids know that if I say, you're going to be fine, then they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And if they say... If I say, hey, you might want to think about that or whatever, then they know. So they I always go back. You. But I think you have to, at one point, there's nothing to be afraid of about the truth. So to deliver the truth, as long as it's always followed by, hey, you're not very good at this, but there's something else that God has for you. There's another thing to do. Or he wants you to work at it. You're not really bad at it. If you want to work at it, then go work at it.
Yeah. So I like it. So if you were to boil it down into like a sentence, how do you want to impact the world because of your Catholic father?
I want to raise young people who will go into the world not afraid of the truth, not afraid of confronting injustice, and people who will care about others. In other words, they'll be Jesus to the rest of the world. That's how you're going to impact it.
Amen. I like it. All right. So you also said that you wanted to answer the one, who inspires you as a dad and why?
Well, yeah, I would say my dad. Partly because of what you talked about earlier. I mean, he's a physician, and my dad was a hard worker. And what I always remembered was, you know, as much time as he had to spend, and back in those days, there were no cell phones or anything like that. It was, you know, pterodactyls and stuff.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Long time ago. But, you know, he would always make time. So, you know, doctor's life is they get up really early. They're usually gone before you get up for school. And then they go through their day, and often they would have to work till 10, 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Well, when we had stuff, I don't remember my dad ever missing things that were important. I don't ever remember him missing a football game because he had to go. It probably happened.
Sure.
But it was always explained, well, there was an emergency. Somebody, you know, was having a heart attack, and I had to be there. But it wasn't, I don't want to come home. So, I mean, there were plenty of times when my dad would drive, you know, the 35, 40 minutes from the hospital back to watch a football game, then get back in the car and go back to the office and finish it. And may not get home till midnight because he was coming to watch us play. So he was always available, always encouraging. He was, I think, a great storyteller about how things had gone into life. I love that about him and my grandfather because I think dads need to tell stories. They need to tell stories that show that God actually acts in your life.
Yeah.
And that so that they can actually recognize God at work in their lives. And that sometimes that comes in forms that you may not like. They may be distressing. They may cause problems. But so that people know that your kids know that it doesn't matter what happens, it's always God's hand is in it. So if he's allowing something bad to happen, then he's got something for you to learn from it and something to grow from. So, yeah.
So that's like one aspect of, is it this storytelling?
I think storytelling is really important.
And being there.
Like
even if he missed a couple games, which I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
You don't remember that.
He was characterized by being there.
Yeah, because almost all the time he was there.
Right.
You know, that. Yeah.
So being there, and I think telling stories. We always say, you know, Stephanie, I've always talked about, we have, you know, we can read Bible stories and we can show how God acted in these instances, but we got to bring it forward. You could talk about the saints and see how it worked, but ultimately you got to make it real. So you got to see God at work in your life, and you got to make sure to share the story with the kids so that they can grab a hold of that. And then further, you tell them he's going to act in your life too. So,
yeah, and even like seeing that happen in their life, right, and telling them that story,
right,
that they just experienced, even if they didn't. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I think that's really a way that my dad impacted me, and really my grandfather too was the same way. And so we've tried to make sure to look back and say, hey, you know, this is something that happened you may not have been aware of, and let them know.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, so last question that we're going to ask every dad that's on this series is, what advice would you give your younger self?
Relax. No. I really trust God, do good, and he will act. I mean, it's one of our family mottos that our kids all have wristbands. I'm wearing one here. You can't see it, but it is on. And then... Yeah.
Should have done that before.
That's recorded, okay. But hey, welcome to my world. But I think that learning that things are going to be difficult, they're not always going to work the way you plan, they're not going to be the way. My mother told my son, be flexible, and we asked what be flexible means. And I think there's some truth to it. I'm not sure about the theology behind it, but she said, you know, what being flexible means is to start out with a plan, because you should have a plan, head that direction. And when you end somewhere else, and you will end up somewhere else, it won't be exactly what you planned. Pretend like that's where you're headed in the first place.
I like it.
But I think that's what I would tell myself going forward. It's not going to all work according to plan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the plan you have in place at your young age,
right,
is not going to be where you end up.
Exactly.
When you get there, act like that's where you meant to be.
Exactly. And, yeah, and that's, you know, I'll just throw one more thing in, is my kids, I've always told my kids, you know, dream big, you know, I want you to dream, I want you to do it. And I had a kid, one of my smarter children, they're all very smart, said, so Dad, I mean, are you living the dream? And I said, well, if you had asked me when I was 25, when I just got married to your mom, where I am, I would probably say no.
Yeah.
But I am living the dream. And because God put me where I am, I'm doing exactly what God intended me to be, intended me to do. And that's how my mother's flexibility has kind of rung true, yeah, for me.
I like that. I'm not living my 22-year-old self's dream.
Right.
But I am living the dream.
Yes. I'm 100% living the dream.
Yeah.
I could not be proud. Yeah.
I love that. Well, Trey, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Let's see what Chris and I do with this.
I can't. I want to see. I'm going to hear Bartlett. So.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, guys. So if you couldn't tell, Trey and I are friends, and I'm able to give Trey a little bit of a hard time there at the beginning, which is just kind of fun. Obviously, if you've watched any episode, I love catching people off guard with comments that, I don't know, poke at them, maybe make fun of them a little bit. So yes, I am the not just self-deprecating person, I also deprecate others. Is that a thing? Can you deprecate others?
I think we're going to get canceled, so be careful. One thing he said that is, he's a veteran, not an expert. And yeah, so all of his kids are out of the house right now. They've kind of still in college and a little bit beyond. But I thought that was a beautiful way to describe oneself, is as a veteran, not an expert. And there's a lot of wisdom that can be drawn from that. So,
well, what would you say is the difference between that? Because they both have a certain amount of wisdom. And what would you say is the difference between a veteran and an expert?
I mean, an expert would be someone with a PhD. A veteran would be someone with scars that gave him the wisdom.
But also, don't they say like 10,000 hours of doing something and you're an expert?
Oh, sure. For sure.
My guess is he's got well over 10,000 hours of parenting.
For those who don't know, he had triplets. Like, yes. I remember hearing stories when I was younger and in a married couples group with Trey about them literally feeding the baby, and falling asleep while they were bringing in the third baby to feed. He dropped one of his children on the floor because he fell asleep on the couch feeding the triplets. Like, by the time the third one ate, the first one was hungry again.
They had three kids and then had triplets.
And then the triplets. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like one, two, three, and then three. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think, you know, I like the idea, the distinction, veteran, not an expert. But I honestly think that
he is an
parents,
expert.
Like, yeah, yeah, that parents, like, that's more modesty than anything else, or humility than anything else. And I think that we tend to defer to others even when we have expertise. And so I think that as we get older and the further along we get, we need to realize that we actually do have some wisdom to share from our expertise, from our experience in ministry. And that's what I love of what Trey gave us. There were several points that we wanted to dive into and think about a little bit more. Chris, what's one that you wanted to, from like maybe that first question?
Yeah, so in regards to impact and this post-interview breakdown, I really love the idea of fostering a Catholic worldview in our children. And that comes from A, living, right? I think that authentic living witness, right? If your house doesn't look different during Advent or Lent than it does at other times of the year, that Catholic worldview is hard to develop. But also, I think there needs to be some intentional conversations along the way. And one of those pieces in regards to developing a Catholic worldview in your children, I think, is modeling forgiveness. And so how do we do things when our children have offended us? And then how do we do things when we've offended our children and maybe overstepped or did something wrong? That reality where we're apologizing to our kids and letting them know, like, it's okay to seek forgiveness from those you love and even from those you don't love, you know, I think that builds a Catholic worldview.
Yeah. And on sort of on that same note, the thing that stuck out to me in that first section was loving honesty with your kids. When I thought about that, like, just the idea that he, like, wrote down that his kid was slow, right? And then it came out, like, his kid saw it and he's like, well, yeah, you are slow, you know, but it wasn't in a derogatory, God, you're so slow, you know, kind of way. And I think so many dads do that. I even hear it on the sidelines when I go to games, you know, where the dads are like saying berated things that, like, there is truth there. There's truth. Your kid missed the tackle. Yes. But do they deserve to be berated at that moment or even at any moment?
Yeah, no. The kid knows they missed the tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't need to be reminded. And, right.
And that's like even when I do film with my kids looking at either gymnastics or looking at basketball, there are areas where I'm pointing out to them areas that they could improve. But it's not that and so it's not that, oh, you did so great the whole game, you know, because I hate that idea. You know, the thought that, you know, everything you do is sunshine and rainbows, and that's not true. We need loving, you know, honest correction to be able to improve, and our kids need that too. And I ask my kids every time before we play a game, like chess in particular or whatever, okay, do you want me to let you win or do you want me to play for real? And I give them that option.
Yeah.
And they never choose for me to let them win.
Right, right.
Because they're like, well, I don't want to, that sounds boring. Like, I don't want to play that game.
So at the school, they're having tryouts for basketball. And then we find out that no one gets cut. And so one of my daughters made the B team, not the A team. And she was really kind of bothered by it. She's like, yeah, but I don't know if I'm any good at basketball. I said, you're good at basketball. Like, we've played together. You're just younger, you know, and things of that nature. She goes, yeah, but if no one got cut, then how do I know that I'm even really deserve to be on the team? And I was like, whoa, what an insight, you know? And yeah. So there is something about coddling that is dangerous in regards to
the ones that wouldn't have been cut.
Yeah.
Like the ones who have made it, who would have made the team, doubt themselves.
Exactly.
Because everyone made the team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay.
Cool. So anything else on that first question?
No, I think that's great. The last piece I love was he wants to raise his young people who are not afraid and not afraid to be Jesus to the rest of the world. Not just not afraid, but not afraid to be bold in our calling to be disciples. And I think that's an amazing piece. We just don't want to raise kids that can get to heaven. We want to raise kids that can get others to heaven as well. And that's a powerful vision for us as fathers.
Yeah. And the idea that, like, you want to raise kids that you want to be friends with, we kind of glossed over that, talked about that a little bit, but I had never heard that from any other parent before meeting Trey Cashin. And almost every time we talk about kids and raising kids, that it's something that comes out from our conversation with him. And I love that idea. Think about the adults that you're friends with. What kinds of personality do they have? What kinds of things do they find important? How do they treat other people?
Right.
And that's why you pick your friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you choose them to be around them. It's like, okay, well, all the little detail stuff that we get stuck in as parents, it's not as important as some of these other bigger issues. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we get so hyper-focused on, I don't know, the free throw shot that we ruin our relationship with our kids and we can't be friends with them later. When really what we want to instill in them is a work ethic where they actually try hard. And that's what we want in them. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but the free throw shot seems a little bit random, but yeah, let's continue on. So let's talk about someone who inspires, right? And it was very much a beautiful moment when he shared that it's his own father that inspires, and how his father, in the midst of having a very busy and demanding professional life, still made fatherhood the top, not a priority, but the top priority. And I want to be that kind of dad. And my kids have sports stuff. And there have been a couple of times where I've been out of town and I had to say no to a couple of events so that I could say yes to being at their playoff games for volleyball and things like that. And so I thought that was just a beautiful witness. It was definitely how his dad spoke and lived, but his dad showed up, and that's what made him an inspiring dad. And so showing up is like 90% of the game when it comes to Catholic fatherhood.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I think about, I don't know, 20 years from now, when my kid's out of the house, and I no longer have those sporting events to go to.
Right.
And I look back, and I think about, man, I sure am glad I went to that recruiting event and missed my son's game.
Right.
It's like, no. Like that, I'm not going to regret going to the game instead of doing work.
Right. The other piece that stood out to me was the fact that his dad was a great storyteller and how dads need to tell stories. And I love that. I'm very playful. I'm very silly. But we also need to tell stories of the good things that God is doing in our lives. And that's called a testimony. Like in regards to sharing our faith, we can give little testimonies. Hey, guys, in prayer today, God revealed this to me. And it was just so beautiful because I needed it at that time. That's a brief little mini testimony that gives a witness to God working in your life. And our kids need to see us delighting in the work of God the Father in our very lives.
Yeah. I'm much better at that than I am storytelling. I don't think I tell stories. That's just kind of not my personality. And that was one of the things that I almost felt guilty about. Like when Trey said it, I was like, well, I don't do that. Am I a bad dad?
You got to paint yourself into more corners, Matt. You just go ahead and run your mouth without thinking. Then you're like, oh, I got to figure out a way to work my way out of this. And then you become a good storyteller. I know.
that's how you do it.
That's how I figured it out.
but having that, like connecting either the life of a saint or connecting a Bible story to their life and telling that story where it connects with them, I'm good at that.
Good.
And I'm good at drawing connections between their life and the homily we just heard or whatever. And so that type of storytelling, if you will, I don't know if that's storytelling, I'm good at doing that.
Yeah. And I'll accept it. I say that, yes, that's storytelling. I have a friend of mine who's like, I'm so tired of going to these retreats where a bunch of men are sharing their own story when the saints have lived such better stories. He's like, I don't tell kids stories about me because my life was boring. I tell stories of the saints, the lives of the saints. And so I would consider him a storyteller, but he's telling other people's stories because he believes that they're going to make a bigger impact and they're more meaningful. So wherever you're at, make sure you're just engaging with your kids. And C.S. Lewis mentioned that we have to tell stories about witches and knights and danger and heroes, because kids need to see the bravery and chivalry in some context. And that's a great context for them to see it, because when they encounter something in the world that looks like a witch or is an adventure needing to be had, they've already seen that courage modeled before and they know how to stand up and move into that reality. So we don't tell stories so that they can tell good stories. We tell stories so that they can live better.
Yeah, so they see themselves in the stories. And that's one of the nuances that Trey said was, don't just tell a saint story. Tell a saint story and connect it to today.
Right.
Connect it to their life. Connect it to how that could apply today. Because they need to see themselves in that story. And it needs to connect in some way.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what about the last question with what advice could you give to your younger self, Matt? What were your thoughts on that piece?
I really loved the flexible and the definition of flexibility there.
Yeah.
When, like he said, start with the plan. And when you end up somewhere else, because you will, act like that's the plan. Like, act like that's where you're supposed to be. Because to be honest, that is where you're supposed to be. Like, where God has you, like, God has you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it depends. I mean, I think there could be a hint of moral relativism in there, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But I do think that we as Christians, when we go ahead and lay out our plans and submit them to the Lord, what we get back in return is something better than our original plan, which brings us to new heights, new places, and different locations. And so in regards to that, to stand confident in the Lord of like, I have walked with the Lord, and so I am meant to be here, whether it be on the mountaintop or in the chaos of the valley, like God has me here for a reason, and I'm going to stand firm in that. And when we're leading our family, like when things get crazy and it's just like, no, God has given me grace for times such as these because he called me to have kids at this age dealing with this stuff right now. And so I'm going to stand firm in that reality.
Because, I mean, what's the other option? Like your kids look at you and you're like, I don't know what to do. We're not supposed to be here. I'm lost. You know, it's like, that's not the kind of leader I want to follow. Like,
well, I mean, but no, I think that the way dads do that is they stare at their phone or they withdraw to the sports game or they go ahead and have a beer or they stay out late to the office or whatever.
Escapism.
They throw themselves into other things instead of being present to arguably the adventure or purpose that God has for them right in front of them. And I think that does take a boldness because one of the greatest loves that has been modeled is sacrifice. Sacrifice is sometimes a bit of a bummer, dude.
Yep.
Like it is. And so to be able to embrace that reality means that we can own wherever we're at, like we were headed there in the first place.
That's right. All right. So that is this episode, guys. We have we're doing four probably in this series, four different dads. And then maybe like the next series, I'll get Chris to go do some interviews and stuff like that. But I'm going to interview like a lot of my friends here locally. We need you guys to do a couple of things. One, we need you to subscribe. If you haven't subscribed already, make sure you do that now. Hit the bell as well so you get notified whenever we put out new videos. We'll be putting out new videos every other week on Thursdays. And there's something else. Share this. Share this podcast. This video, this channel, share it on whatever social medias you're on. I know that not all dads, not all guys are on it, but all guys, all dads, all Catholic dads need to see this and need to be a part of this community. Comment below with any, kind of answers yourself to some of these questions. What would you tell your younger self about Catholic fatherhood or whatever, about raising your kids? Chris, anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. And so one piece that we're trying to do in regards to it is getting dads from different walks of life. So Matt and I are ministry dads and very much wanted to find some people outside of that. Trey Cashin is a banker, and there's a variety of you get better wisdom when you surround yourself with different people. One great spot to surround yourself by people that are different than you but still have the same values that Catholic fatherhood is the Village. And so we want to invite you to be a part of the community. Catholic Dad Show is a part of the Village. It's sponsored by the Village, so we want you guys to join the Village. And so Matt, how would they do that?
Ablaze.us/thevillage. And there should be a link in the show notes.
And so it's an online community where we can journey together, a section specifically for dads. You'll be able to connect with Matt and I and dig a little deeper into some of these topics there. And we want you to be a part of it. In the meantime, we are grateful that you journeyed with us. Thanks for joining us for the Catholic Dad Show, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
God bless.